If you'll take your scriptures this evening, turn, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. We have been going through parts here of Matthew chapter 24. We had several messages dealing with that passage. And we are now moving into Matthew chapter 25. And in this passage, Jesus gives a set of parables that warns the hearers. They're much like the parables that the Lord gave in the previous chapter, as we saw readiness, because he was warning the people, you need to be ready. Like, for example, in verse 43, it says here, chapter 24, he says, "Know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And so there were warning things, a series of warnings that he gives. And he's speaking to the men in the days that this event will actually take place. And just to refresh your understanding, Matthew chapter 24 is speaking of that future period of time after the church is raptured. We have that terrible period of tribulation, and those people that go through this tribulation, Matthew 24 speaks about it, and we're right at that end of that terrible time of the tribulation period, where these parables now of warning, be prepared, be ready, because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, not just in the clouds. When he comes for us, he's going to come back. He's going to come here to this earth. He's going to be setting up his reign, that millennial reign, here on this planet. And so there are the birth pangs that he speaks about in Matthew chapter 24, some exact terrible, terrible period of time. In fact, no one knows the exact hour when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. It can be any time. Even with the rapture, we don't know when he's going to come back. But you would think, as you're going through this period, the tribulation period, we know it's 7 years, and we understand all the signs that he gives in Matthew 24. It's kind of amazing that even then, the people aren't certain of exactly the hour and the time that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. In fact, go to Matthew 24, look at verse 36. Notice what Jesus actually says in one of these parables about being ready. He says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And so even while Jesus was here, he was not given that time. Now he's back with the Father in the heavenly places. I'm assuming he knows that exact hour. But here on this planet, not an understanding of the exact time, the exact moment when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and set up his kingdom here on this planet. And so these parables are warnings. And if you remember, one of the other things, why does the book of Matthew give two chapters, chapter 24 and chapter 25, so much space to a time that really doesn't apply to the church age, because this is talking about those people that will go through the tribulation period. And if you remember, there are going to be billions, 6 billion or better people, if after the rapture of the church, what's ever left, you know, that will be facing ultimate, this is decision time. There won't be a second chance. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on the planet first time, he wasn't well received at all. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 1. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Look at verse 10 when you get there. John chapter 1, verse 10. It says that he, that's Jesus, was in the world. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So when Jesus was here in the world the first time, the world did not know him. Also goes on to verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But we know the good news here in verse 12. "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And now we know that the people that rejected him the first time still had that opportunity after he rose again to trust him, or at least until their death occurred. But I'll tell you, when we go through that terrible time of the tribulation period, that will be the end. It's terminal. Either you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be with him in the millennial reign, or you'll be cast into hell. There is no in between. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 25, because in Matthew chapter 25, the setting is a typical wedding ceremony in Israel, as well as most of the other parts of the ancient Near East. This is similar wedding ceremonies that are celebrated. In fact, virtually everyone within the community or within the village would go to at least the latter part of the wedding festivities that would take place. Typically, a Jewish wedding ceremony, that is, these 10 virgins we're going to be seeing are going to be part of, consisted of three parts. First, there was the engagement period. That's where Dad went and arranged the bride and groom made an arrangement for their marriage. So they make the marriage arrangement. And then also they have the second part of it, which is the betrothal period. Because once there is an approval and they reach of the right age that's there, and the woman has the opportunity to accept or reject this kind of arrangement, at that point, then there would be this marriage ceremony now where they would exchange the vows in the presence of family and friends. It's not the whole village would be there part of this time. It was just for family and friends that would be part of this. And it was considered a formal marriage without consummation. And the woman would go home with her family and the groom would go home with his family. And then he would prepare a place that he would be able to bring his bride to. In fact, if he were to die during that period, the woman would be considered a widow. If there was some kind of infidelity that took place during that time, there would be a divorce that would actually take place during that time. And so the betrothal period was a serious period. It can last anywhere from just a few months to up to 1 year. And then you come to the third part of the wedding ceremony, because generally this third part is unannounced. The bride, no, and let me tell you, I would think she probably has her people out in the community saying, oh, they're buying a lot of food because this is where the whole community is going to be. Oh, I just saw there was a new suit that he got. At this point, you would probably think it's going to be near. So there were probably some signs, but still, it's this event that takes place in the where they are now going to consummate the marriage, where they're going to go and they're going to live together. There would be bridesmaids, and we're going to see the bridesmaids that would be there that would take the bride out to meet the coming groom. And he would come unexpectedly, usually at nighttime, and there would be a procession with lamps or with torches that would be identifying the wedding party. And then at that point, then they would go and have a party that would last usually a week, and they would also consummate the marriage ceremony. And so that's the typical wedding ceremony in a shortened form of what it is. There's great works that talks about the Jewish wedding ceremonies that you can probably read. But I want you to see here, chapter 25, beginning in verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto them 10 virgins. Now, I want to focus on one word right here, then. The then refers to what happened just before these parables in chapter 24. I want you to go back, verse 29, chapter 24. This is what the then is referring to. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So here's the groom coming. And this is the idea of what he's referring to. That's what that then in chapter 25, verse 1 is referring to. Then shall the kingdom of heaven and it's going to be likened to this event. Now, I would think you just went through seven of the worst period of all of history. You would think the people that got to the other end of it would really be prepared. Wouldn't you? I mean, I want to be ready. The Lord's coming back. I find it amazing that not all the people are ready. And the constant warnings that are given, there's going to be no second chance after this. This is it when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. I want you to, in fact, this is this parable that I'm going to read in just a few moments. It's not an allegory that every single part of it has to have a meaning. For example, let me read here in verse 1. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Now, the question is, why 10 virgins? I don't know. Not every facet of the parable has a particular meaning. Now, I can guess at why 10 virgins. It took 10 men to celebrate the Passover. That was a Jewish thing. It took 10 men to establish a synagogue. It took 10 men to give an official wedding blessing. And so it seems probable that the 10 bridesmaids were just the custom of the day and that would be part of a wedding party. Other than that, I really don't know of any other significant thing to why 10 virgins. But I think the significant part is half are not prepared. That is a significant number if half the people that claim to be prepared are not prepared. Let me read verse 1 again. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." I'll stop right there. We find then these bridesmaids, virgins, they were never married, these bridesmaids that were there. They were just going to accompany this young lady out to her marriage ceremony. They're carrying lamps. Now, the Greek word is lampos, which is a torch. Now, I want you to imagine a long piece of wood, which is a torch, and then they would wrap around it some kind of cloth that they would soak in oil. That's how the torch would burn. If you don't soak the rag that is around the end of the torch, there is no flame or a smoldering kind of thing that would happen, but it wouldn't burn properly. And so they had torches that were there, and the torches signified them as part of the wedding party. It was an important part. It kind of designated these are part of that wedding party that are making it up. Mark them off. And they were to light these torches when they hear the bride, the groom coming, and they would march out with the bride with their torches lit as they would be parading forward. Well, we find 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. We also find out that the foolish took their lamps or their torches, but they didn't take a vessel for oil. For some reason that is not given in this parable, why they didn't do this, I don't know. But for some reason, they did not come prepared. They thought perhaps they got time. Perhaps they can go at another moment and get the oil. I keep on thinking of what Ed said the other day. He had, or this morning in Sunday school, he was there and the people were talking about the event that just took place in Boston. Why is all this craziness? When will this craziness end? And Ed turns to him and he says, "Well, do you really want to know?" And then he started talking about it will end when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and he'll bring peace to this earth. And then at that point, they all scatter. Because they really don't want to hear. And I have found the madness that's going on within the community. I mean, the rapture can happen at any moment where the church is taken away. And the people are saying, why all this madness? Why is the world coming unscrewed? Well, I'll tell you why. You know, evil, and we do have the promise that the Lord is going to take his church away before the tribulation period. And that can happen at any moment. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it can happen at any moment. You ought to be ready. You need Christ. and they scatter. They don't want to hear it. It's the same thing in that day during the tribulation period. You know, they're still going to, I have more time. For whatever reason, they're not going to be choosing to place all their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems as though they were professed believers, half of them, but not real believers that will take place. And the 10 bridesmaids represent, you know, those believers that came to faith from the Jewish ranks, because he's talking about the Jewish community at the end of the tribulation period. Keep your finger here, and I just want you to go to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Because in this passage, this is the point in time in that tribulation period, at the end of the tribulation period, where Israel will be saved. Book of Matthew talks about Israel, that in the middle part of that tribulation period, that there's going to be the desecration of the temple, and the Jewish people are told that they are to flee for their lives, not to go back, not to get any baggage, not to do anything. But if you're in the field, you just run. If you're in the home, don't get any clothes, don't get any food, just run. And we do know that one of the things that they're going to do, they're going to run and they're going to go to, most believe, to Petra, which is part of Jordan. And they're going to be preserved there for the latter 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And then at one point, there's going to be this miraculous thing that's going to change the hearts of the people, and they're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this talks about this event because in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, notice what it says, the promise that God says to this Jewish nation. He says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day, there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, and in the morning of, and then he goes and mentions all the places in the valley, Hidden Gan, and all the different places that they're going to be mourning. Let me get on. And verse 12, it says, and the land shall mourn every family apart from the family of the house of David, and their wives apart from the house of Nathaniel, apart, and their wives apart. And just goes on and names these key families that are going to be mourning. In other words, they recognize they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They are mourning this fact. Something has caused them to recognize the one whom they have pierced was the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's going to be repentance. Chapter 13, verse 1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And in other words, in one day, because of this, whatever event is going to take place, Israel is going to get saved. And so he's talking about these Jewish people. All of a sudden, they're saved. Now, the Lord hasn't come back yet, but they've recognized they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They're turning. And yet not all are going to be believers, apparently, because if you go to our passage here in Matthew chapter 25, some will be ready and some will not be ready. I find that amazing. Go back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 3. It says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, it seems there's a long delay. The long delay, even though they are prepared, even the ones that are prepared, they're even sleeping, just like the church probably today is sleeping, waiting for the rapture. Even in this time, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back here, they're slumbering. They're all slumbering. They're all not ready. Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. Notice what happens here. Very similar event. Matthew 22, verse 11. It's a parable the Lord gave of unpreparedness. It says, and when the king, verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not the wedding garments. Here's the people that were invited to the wedding party. And in those days, what they would do, especially if it was for a king, people couldn't afford their wedding garments. The king would provide garments for the wedding guests. Well, the king arrives, and here's one that never got the garment. It's like having everybody was given these particular kinds of robes, and there's one guy that just kind of stands out. He doesn't have the right garment. I mean, the king could see it right away. Verse 12. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having the wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Here's a man that came, and the idea of the garments that are there, the garment we have is the garments of righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you place your trust in Jesus Christ, you are given garments of righteousness. So you're forgiven of your sins. There are going to be people that are going to be trying to get in, unprepared people. So it's the same idea what the Lord is doing here in Matthew chapter 25 as he's speaking of people that just simply will not be ready. Warning after warning after warning Jesus gives, and people will not be prepared. I trust everybody here is prepared. Prepared when the Lord can just rapture us any moment. I trust everybody here is prepared. He can take you home in death. I mean, think of Vicky's grandmother. Vicky got a call this morning. She went in pain just last night. And then all of a sudden, I mean, she what if the appendix had burst? I mean, it could have been sudden. There could have been a lot of things that took place. Praise God, she's okay. But, you know, preparedness. Are we prepared? Are we prepared at any moment? Because, you know, the Lord is delaying. He's delaying for a purpose. But I'll tell you, at some moment, he's going to say, he's going to flip the switch, and it's going to be done. All the Gentiles are going to be saved are saved. He's going to rapture the church, and he's going to do his thing. I want you to go to the second part here, this passage in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 6. We saw the bridesmaids. Now we're going to see the bridegroom as he's coming back. Let me read in verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. It comes at midnight. People are middle of the night. People are deeply in sleep. And the question is, why at midnight? Well, two reasons that I can think of. Number one, when Israel prepared to leave Egypt, they prepared to leave Egypt at midnight. That's one. There's also, second, a rabbinic tradition that says the Messiah will come at midnight. Now, I don't know. I mean, no man knows the hour or the time, but those are traditions. Why Jesus was just using that as part of the tradition, as he explained. That's why they were slumbering. It was late when he was coming. And there's a shout, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And those people are supposed to get ready and to trim their lamps and go out. And so that's exactly what took place here in verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. In fact, there was a forerunner that is actually sent forward, you know, from one of the guests of the bridegroom would go, and he'd send one ahead to announce, he's coming, he's coming. Well, you know who that is. That's Elijah. There's going to be someone, at least in the spirit and power of Elijah, is going to be warning, he's coming. So they arose and they trimmed their lamps. Five of them were ready. I mean, they had the little vessels. They were dipping their torches into the vessels and getting it covered with oil and getting ready to light. And the others were saying, wait, we don't have any. No oil. We're not ready. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now think about that. How in the world can they give them life? How can they give them spiritual life? There's some things in life you can't share. I can't share my faith. I can't give my faith to my kids. They have to receive Jesus Christ themselves. I can't share my life with someone else. The life is something that is granted by God only. And they have to go directly to God to receive these things. And so the prudent bridesmaids, they couldn't share their oil because it couldn't be shared. The oil represents this life, the spiritual life that they have. And so they were secure in their salvation. It wasn't that they were being mean. I can't share. They had something they couldn't share. It's something that only comes from the Lord. And these others were totally unprepared for something like this. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Notice the warnings. I mean, they had warnings. Verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So no one knows, you know, so you got to be prepared. Just the idea of why he said that. Drop down to verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Two warnings. He's warning them. You know, you don't know what hour. Be prepared is what he's saying. Drop down to verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Three warnings. You would think, you know, after three warnings, they would get it. Drop down to verse 50. The Lord of that servant shall come in that day when he looketh not for him, and in that hour that he is not aware of. And then I want you to go to chapter 25, verse 13. He says this, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Five warnings. Certainly the Lord knows something that I think we sometimes ignore. People, even in the face of evidence, even in the face of warning after warning, people have this tendency to slumber and to sleep and to think they have more time. Go back to our passage here. Matthew 25, verse 28. It says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and says, verily I say unto you, I know you not. What awful words. He had time. He had warning. Warning after warning after warning. And yet they delay. How? Many people, half, he's indicating even in that tribulation period, how many people in our day when the Lord raptures the church will, even, I don't want to know, but can you imagine what will happen to the fundamental churches that preach the Bible, how many people might be left behind? That's a real possibility. There are people showing up who had time, who had warning. And they were possessed. There's an epic poem. It's in the Iliads of the King. It's by Alfred Lord Tennyson. He wrote this after Queen Guinevere. You know, if you remember King Arthur and Queen Guinevere and Sir Lancelot, and you know that legend. It's a legend. And Queen Guinevere wasn't exactly a prudent woman or a pure woman in any way. And so he wrote this about that the stories of Queen Guinevere. And he said this, and he wrote it based on the 10 virgins. Late, 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 the dark, the night, and chill. Late, late, so late, but we can enter still. Too late, ye cannot enter now. No light that we have, for that we do repent. And learning this, the bridegroom will relent. Too late, he cannot enter now. No light, so late and dark, and the chill of the night. Oh, let us in that we may find the light. Too late, too late. You cannot enter now. Have we not heard the bridegroom is so sweet? Oh, let us in, though late, to kiss his feet. No, no, too late. Ye cannot enter now. And I'll tell you, though he wrote that poem, and he wrote that poem based on this, how many people will say, oh, but he's sweet, he'll let us in. And they'll say, oh, no, 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 too late. You cannot enter now. Be sure of your salvation. Be sure of the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more precious than that. At any moment, at any time, he can come and take the church away. Boy, he has given us such a rich blessing in him. Trust him if you haven't trusted him. Let's go before the Lord in prayer.